Okay, hear these words from Luke 9, verses 28 through 36, the Transfiguration. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. The two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at the time what they had seen. The words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Sarah. I appreciate you bouncing around like the Energizer Bunny this morning, covering all the different bases. So, you know, maybe this is an age thing, but Kim and I have begun to notice things we didn't always used to notice. We just see things now that I don't know that we always saw. Something I've talked about here quite a bit is like sunrises. Seeing sunrises. You know, I talked about when we were in Gulf Shores back in January and strolling on the beach, and we would walk as the sun was coming up. And actually, not only did we walk as the sun was coming up, we would stop. As the sun came up, we would stop, we would pause, and we would watch it come up. I would have never known how quickly that happens unless I had actually paused. It happens quick. Boof, and there it is, right? And so we had that practice when we were there. We have that practice at home sometimes from our kitchen. We like to watch as the sun comes up from the back of the house, of the parsonage. We notice sunsets, especially at the lake. We love to watch sunsets at the lake as the sun kind of comes down there. We notice birds outside the window. Right, and we put out our little bird feeders, and we watch the birds come. And it's not uncommon to hear from one side of the house, "Hey, come look at this one! Come look at this one!" And we run over there, and it's you know, got red on the front, or it's a redhead, or it's a little blue bird, or it's something kind of unique and different. And we pause and we notice the beauty of the little birds that are all around the house. Sometimes when we're on the lake, one of my other favorite things is if the sun is positioned just right and the water is just riffling a little bit, as the sun hits the lake, it looks like 1,000 diamonds shimmering off the surface of the lake. And to stop and to pause and to see that beauty. Now, we didn't used to stop for those things, right? We didn't used to. We were just busy. We were doing things, doing all the other things. Outplan maybe on the lake or just amongst nature, doing something else, but we just kept going. But now we stop and we pause and we notice. So let me ask you all, those are some of the things that I've paused to notice. Maybe you've got some different things. Maybe there's some things that you stop and pause and notice often. What are some of the additional things that you can think of that you stop and pause and notice? Yeah. Oh, the planets lined up? Yep. I went out and saw some of them. Yep. Planetary alignments. Good. Yep, that's something to notice. The stars. To stop to notice the stars. Anybody else, what you stop to notice? Flowers, yes, yeah, we've got friends we love to walk with. We give this one gal a hard time because we don't actually get 2 minutes of walking in before she stops and looks at the flowers and observes and takes a picture and looks it up, and what kind of flower was this? And what else? Anything else that you pause and you notice now? A new baby donkey. Well, that's precious. Did you give the little precious baby donkey a nickname? No, just noticed it. I saw a hand over here. One more thing. Yes. Lots of squirrels. Yeah. Yeah. Now, the squirrels at our house are ornery. They get into the bird feeder. Do yours do that? Squirrels got to eat too. Just, it'd be nice if they give the birds kind of a break there, right? And not eat all the bird food. So today's passage is about all three of these disciples noticing, observing something that they hadn't observed before. That they would be astounded by the greatness of God. That this would be filed away as something miraculous. We would deem this as something miraculous, a miracle, if you will. Peter, James, and John up on a mountain with Jesus. They are there for prayer. This is a common practice for Jesus, to go to the mountainside, the hillside, for prayer, which is what Jesus is doing when something absolutely amazing happens. Famous forefathers of the Jewish faith appear with Jesus. Moses, who led the Israelites out of Egypt. Elijah, who was a prophet and who fought King Ahab and Queen Jezebel through spiritual means, right? Jesus having supernatural conversation with Moses and Elijah. Talking about Jesus' departure does not fill in the gaps on that. Just says departure. We know based upon the full scriptures about Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, and perhaps that's what they were talking about, was that this thing was to come, right? Which the disciples might have actually heard and understand if they were with it during that time. But they weren't with it when that conversation was happening. The passage says the disciples were sleepy. They're sleepy, right? Not fully asleep, not fully awake, sleepy. The Greek word, this Greek word might sound familiar to you for sleepy. It is hypnos. Hypnos. Hypnos sounds like, yeah, hypnosis, hypnotized, any of those things, right? And so the disciples were starting to nod off in that hypnos state between asleep and awake, and they missed the conversation, the very important conversation about Jesus' departure. They see Moses and Elijah, Jesus glorified, like flashes of lightning before them. They witness the astounding greatness of the moment after their hypnos state kind of wears off, right? Then they hear a voice because a cloud surrounds them, and they are in this cloud, and a voice from the cloud says, "This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." Now, this is like another moment in the Gospel of Luke, earlier in the Gospel of Luke, the baptism of Jesus, when a dove descended from the heavens and fell upon Jesus, and a voice from the heavens could be heard saying something very similar but a little different. "This is my son whom I love, in him I am well pleased." Interesting, three disciples all agreed upon something on that mountain. I don't know if they had a little conversation. I don't know if it didn't need to be said at all. But when they got off that mountain and they saw the other disciples, they said nothing about that experience. They didn't share it with them, at least for a while, right? It's in the book, so it had to have come up at some point. But right afterwards, it did not come up. Their little secret, after all, they'd seen some things, but I think the other disciples might think, "Wow, you know, what'd you guys eat up there, right? Like, that's kind of different." I would imagine that experience solidified some things for the disciples that day. Solidified. I'm not sure if you have that experience, you can call it faith anymore. Is it faith when you see Jesus light up like a light bulb, right? When you see your dead ancestors, when you hear the voice of God, I don't know that that's faith anymore. You've witnessed the glory of God. You've seen the glory of God. And that's what that phrase, glorious splendor, means. When it talked about Jesus and his glorious splendor, the Greek word there for that phrase is doxa. That's where we get our word doxology, is from that same root word, right, in worship. And doxa, it means a physical phenomena. A physical phenomena. Upon Jesus, they witnessed a physical phenomena, Christ glorified. I would love to see a physical phenomena. The person of Jesus before me lit up like a light bulb. My ancestors, I mean, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you love to move from faith in Jesus to knowing Jesus' glorified presence before you? Knowing him in that way. You know, most of us in our lifetimes, we're not going to have a doxa moment. We're probably not going to have that. A physical miracle of that magnitude and that kind of manifestation. And if you have had that type of vision, if you've seen that type of thing, maybe you have chosen not to tell anyone that you had it, probably for similar reasons that the disciples chose not to tell anyone, right? For most of us, we will never see Christ in his glorious splendor. Not in this lifetime, right? But what we will see sunrises. And we will see sunsets, and we will see birds perched in windows. We will see the sun bounce off the lake like a thousand diamonds shimmering. We will hear a baby cry. We will hear a baby laugh. We will see love in the eyes of a friend or a family member. We will see the greatness of God hiding in the ordinary, in the everyday things, often overlooked, undervalued, missed out on. But what if this week we didn't miss it? We didn't overlook it. We didn't undervalue it. What if you chose and I chose to be astounded by the greatness of God in all the ordinary ways, all the ordinary gifts that we are receiving each and every day? This morning, as we prepare ourselves for the communion table, ordinary bread, ordinary juice, you can buy it in the store, you can probably make some bread at home, but now, it can become for you something extraordinary. Let this meal be extraordinary for you. Something special, something significant in your month, right? You can witness the glory of Christ within it because you know his story. And you're one of his children. And so this morning, receive these ordinary things as a sign of Christ's extraordinary love for us, for you, for his church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the communion table, that you have prepared it for us, and you have utilized different folks along the way to set the table, to prepare it, even me, to bless it, other people to give it. But it is you that has prepared it and that will be present in it. So we give you thanks for that. For this time of communion, it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.